you. Brock Huard, our Monday morning quarterback, joins us here on this Monday, surviving the rain yesterday. Happy Monday, Brock.
Yeah, they couldn't tackle that dude yesterday. He was Gore-Tex, right? The dome team looked like the team that loved the rain, and the rain team looked like they couldn't function. They couldn't keep their feet. They couldn't wrap their arms. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't throw and catch very well in the second half. That was really hard to watch. I know these Seahawks are going to lose games when we chat on these Mondays, but yesterday I was just sick. I was sick to my stomach at the way the team played, and I know the coach was awfully disappointed, and I'll talk to him here in about 3 hours, but man, that was a rough one yesterday.
As you said, no one's going to be perfect. Were you surprised, or did you think New Orleans would come up with something to prove, though? And they didn't get Seattle at their best. But, you know, for most people going in, Brock, the fact that they stayed out west, the fact that this is a really good football team, despite Drew Brees not being there, did they not play with a chip on their shoulder?
Oh, they absolutely did. I mean, credit to Sean Payton, and that's a good defense. I mean, that's I think, a top 10 defense. I don't know what the metrics will say at the end of the year, but they're very good at every level of it. So you knew that they would play hard defensively, but the problem and the challenge is, you know, when you let a quarterback get comfortable, Bridgewater was not in rhythm early. You could see he floated a few balls. They just missed some interceptions. And then when you give a backup quarterback 14 points, most backup quarterbacks score about 14 points in the league. If you kind of look at the numbers through the years, and, you know, the special teams and then the defense score 14 for you, you just gave him life. He just knew, like, wow, I don't have to do too much. Like, I just got to make a few plays here or there. And then the more he just handed it off to Kamara or threw little screens, and that dude broke every single tackle. I thought you just empowered them. That too was really frustrating. Not to take anything away from the Saints, because they played their tails off in special teams. Their punter was the MVP of that game, right next to Alvin Kamara. So they absolutely came in and stung you and looked like a team that was incredibly well coached. And the Seahawks on the other side gave them life. And then once they did, boy, they couldn't stop them.
Brock Huard with us here on Sportsnet 650, talking all things Seahawks and National Football League action. Tell me this. It's been 3 weeks now that the Seahawks have had Jadeveon Clowney. And I tried to watch down at CenturyLink yesterday. I tried to put my scout cam on him, Brock. And tell you what, like, is it me or – I'm expecting more. I want to see more. I don't feel like he's been that impactful. Am I wrong?
Well, he's had a few plays that have been incredible. He draws a holding call early in the game that really kills one of the drives. And kind of wish they kept that stat for some of those defensive linemen. Their ability to create, you know, those negative plays, not just sacks or tackles for loss, but when you create a chop block or you create a holding call against you, you know, the emphasis that he is seeing. The disappointment yesterday was Ziggy Ansah. I mean, did you even notice him one time
if
you were sitting in the building yesterday?
Nope.
Not even once. I mean, when those two were on the field, I think one of their first snaps was like the 3rd and 20 from the 8-yard line. And they both win. Clowney misses the sack. Could have been a safety. You want to talk about just a mood-changing, game-changing, temperature-changing play. If he brings Bridgewater down for a safety there at the very beginning of the game, the punter's punting from the 20-yard line, the quarterback's going, oh, my gosh, now they got Ansah and Clowney, and I can't do anything. It's going to be a long day in the rain. Instead, he escapes him, and then he escapes Ziggy Ansah. I think the only time Ansah put his hands on anybody. And he breaks that tackle. He scrambles out. And then I think there was the first of the 55-plus-yard punts that just kind of – flipped the field right away, and just everything felt flipped. You know, Pete said it felt unusual. It just felt like the Saints played the Seahawks brand, and they were more physical. They were more violent. You couldn't tackle them. You couldn't function very well, and that's a real credit to them and a real disappointment for Pete and the Seahawks.
We're only 3 weeks in. Do we know what kind of football team this is? They get by Cincinnati week 1. Bengals haven't won yet. They beat Pittsburgh with Ben gone for most of the game. They haven't won yet. And now they fall at home to New Orleans. Do we know what kind of team Seattle is yet, or is it too early in the season?
That's a great question. I think I can answer in two different ways here, pretty definitively. I know, number one, they're not the team they want to be physically. And that's frustrating. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage. That's three games where, you know, you get sacked four times by the Bengals and the Steelers in the first half. So in this game, well, let's just throw the ball out super quick early, but they couldn't run it. Chris Carson's fallen all over himself. They're not moving and owning the line of scrimmage. I'm not seeing, you know, a lot of run variance, because even the basics in the run game, they're not getting going. So that's really challenging. You know, what kind of team are they? They are a team that is built to be massive at the line of scrimmage, to move people at the line of scrimmage, to shorten the game, to set up all their play action pass and their movement game. And when you don't do that, then you're not the team that you were built to be, and that's really frustrating. You know, the other element is you're just not very violent defensively. This secondary is playing, to me, very, very passively. They're just trying not to get beat over the top. They're just trying not to give up big plays. But in so doing, to me, you've kind of neutered some of the aggressiveness, right? And I believe there's one interception on the season, and that was off of Moncrief's hands and face right into Bradley McDougald. And, you know, outside of that, you just are not seeing a ton of playmaking nor tackling from that secondary. So I think on both of those fronts, you're not the team you want to be. But have we figured out who they are? Yeah, they're not nearly as violent. And that's got to change, and change in a hurry.
Brock Heward with us here on Sportsnet 650. Let's look around the rest of the National Football League. What a story in New York. I mean, it's funny. When it comes to the Giants and the Jets, I think they're never quite as bad as they think as they're painted to be, or they're never quite as good as they're painted to be. The case of Daniel Jones, what a roller coaster ride for him from draft day to his debut yesterday, and a heroic win for the G-men. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he's a tough kid. I had him a couple times in college, and I really liked his game. He did not have much of a supporting cast at Duke. He had to play in a system, and obviously well-documented Eli and Peyton system in college that was pretty heady stuff. And I was not one that crushed that pick like everybody else did and thought, oh, my gosh, what a bunch of idiots. This was a guy, when you elevate other people around you, that's a great place to start at quarterback. And then I think you see yesterday that maybe the happiest people on earth in New York are the Giants offensive linemen, because they don't have to be perfect on every play, because for the first time in – I don't know, a decade plus, you've got a quarterback that can create, that can move. And the game-winning play was him on a scramble on 4th and 7 when he faced man-to-man coverage. You know, just something that Eli, unfortunately, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, could not do. So you breathe a little bit of life into, I think, that offensive line. You breathe a little life into that fan base that the kids got guts to do it at the end. And maybe those Giants, you know, watched 3+ years of tape and were not just enamored with one season, but got a pro, and he showed it yesterday.
Brock, what do you make of it in the last couple of years? We see what Patrick Mahomes doing, Lamar Jackson now, that guys coming out of college can be influential and big playmakers in the NFL right away, because that has never really been the norm.
Yeah, Mahomes is just flat out special. I mean, he makes this game look so easy. At one point yesterday, my son's like, gosh, that was easy. And I turned to him and I said, son, it's never that easy, trust me. these guys make it look, I mean, he's just so effortless because his arm is so unique. And I think for Lamar, he is a little bit different. His arm, to me, is still a little bit challenged accuracy-wise. And I hope he stays healthy over the course of the season, running as much as he does. But he is unique because he is just so stinking fast. And the fear that puts in the people on the other side. So, you know, but you look at both of those guys, and you know what they did? They played a lot of college ball. Mahomes played for 3 years. Jackson played for 3 years. You know, Bill Parcells, that was one of his big deals when he drafted guys, is he wanted a huge body of work. He wanted a lot of experience coming out of college. And you see guys, Mark Sanchez, that played for a season. The kid, you know, with the Redskins right now, Haskins out of Ohio State, he played for one season. You know, I think there's something different when in a different maturity and an NFL readiness when you play as much ball as those guys do. And in today's college game, throw it as much as those guys throw it. Very confident and very confident going into the league that they can do it with their arms, and you're seeing it.
Brock, I got to ask you, I mean, it went down on Friday, you know, the story Antonio Brown, released by the Patriots, takes to Twitter, taking shots at Big Ben, taking shots at Robert Kraft. You know, I guess I look at it, there's a certain point where after watching this unfold for the last 6 weeks, I think to myself, this is a guy who seems like he needs help. I mean, how do you view things from miles away?
Oh, I totally agree with that. He's a complete child right now, and I really hope nobody in the NFL gives him a chance so he can do what you just said, to actually stare up at that ceiling, you know, to look in the mirror and realize, man, I'm a broken dude. I'm treating people terribly. I'm acting a fool. We'll see how, you know, the process gets adjudicated with some of the sexual assaults that have now come up, some of these text exchanges that have come into the public sphere. And, yeah, just a really bad deal. And I hope no matter how desperate some of these NFL teams are, and maybe even this one here in Seattle that could add a significant playmaker on the field next to Tyler Lockett and Antonio Brown, I hope none of them pick up that call, because that dude's got to get his life right.
Yeah, you hope, but do you think that'll happen, Brock? So many times we've seen people go the wrong way, but owners are in a business and trying to make money for their corporation, and that means winning, and you got one of the best receivers. Or do you hope, and so do I, because I think for at once you have to say, hey, we don't want you in our company. But do you think someone calls us already? Talk that, you know, his agent said, oh, a few teams already reached out.
Gosh, I think he's done everything now to show three organizations, you know, so 10% of the league that I'm totally untrustworthy. In Pittsburgh, he wouldn't suit up and play. He quit on his team. In Oakland, he was a total disaster and mess and nearly punched out a GM. And even in New England, you know, when they asked him to put his phone down, he couldn't do it. So, you know, it's not once, it's not twice, it's been three times. And I really hope it's not a fourth, because that would, to me, be pretty embarrassing for this league.
Hey, Brock, thanks so much. Always enjoy it. Always so much to talk about after a Sunday in the NFL. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it, boys.
You're the man.